Look, everybody, I just came all the way to Beit El just to give a hug to everybody at Israel National Radio. They sat me down in front of this microphone and said, here, give us 2 cents. And so I want everybody to give a lot more than 2 cents. You know you love Israel National Radio. You know they're saying the truth. Some of you can't go a day without it, like myself. And we get it for free, guys. And here's your chance to give back. Go to the website, click the Support Us button, feed your addiction, and mine. Donate to Israel National Radio.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Courage.
Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go.
Audacity.
Anu makrizim bazot al hakamat medina yehudit be'eretz Yisrael, hi medinat Yisrael.
History. Miracle. Hope.
No more bloodshed. Shalom. Shalom forever.
Israel.
Broadcasting from Bethel, just north of Jerusalem, D.C. That's right. Jerusalem, David's capital. King David's capital.
King David's capital.
King David's capital. And now, Tamar Yonah.
The show that you're going to be hearing right now is a show about the lost 10 tribes of Israel. But before I get into that topic, I want to preface the show with something that we in Israel often get thrown at us. And that is that, that Israel needs America, and that if it wasn't for America's friendliness and generosity and money that it gets from America, Israel would not exist. Now, most Bible-believing people, if they're really Bible-believing, will say this is hogwash. Israel exists because God wanted Israel to exist. And in fact, even with America's help, which is wonderful, and we welcome any country that wants to be a part of the building of the land of Israel and the state of Israel and helping the Jewish people revive our lives here again after 2,000 years. But getting aside from that, Israel doesn't need anybody except for God up in heaven. We shouldn't even exist. If you look at the map and you see how tiny Israel is, and you see that we are surrounded by a sea of Muslim Arab states that want nothing more than to see us drowned in the ocean. They want to throw us into the ocean or want us 6 feet under. You would say it's impossible that we live here. How can we live in such a tough neighborhood in the Middle East? And when I'm interviewed on American radio stations, I sometimes get a caller calling into the show, whoever show I'm on in America, and they'll say, what about all the money that America gives Israel? You know, we're in a financial crisis and we need our money and we're giving you millions of dollars a year, blah, 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 blah. And Israel needs America, and if it wasn't for us, blah, 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 blah. And so my answer to these people is that, number one, Israel doesn't get to spend this money as it wants. It has to spend the money and put it right back into the United States, into these companies that make weapons and bullets and all sorts of things that the America tells us what we can spend this money on and who we spend it on, who we spend it with, in other words. We can't take this money and use it for whatever we want. So any money America gives Israel goes right back into the pockets of companies of America. But number two, which is what's more important to remember when people say Israel needs the USA, Israel needs America, is that countries don't have friends. They only have interests. And if it wasn't in the interests of the United States government to help Israel in whichever way they do so, they wouldn't be doing it. And in fact, Israel, it's been reported, has helped America much more than America has helped Israel. America gives, Israel gives America information, vital information, that America would never be able to get if it wasn't for Israel. Israel. Case in fact, when Israel shot down one of the Russian MiG planes, M-I-G, the MiG planes, America did not know how to fight these planes. We shot the plane down, took it apart, studied it, and gave America information, and the MiGs were basically useless against America, as the T-72 tank that was Russian. Same thing. Impenetrable tank. We gave American information on how to where the weak points were. This is information that there's no price tag on. No price tag on. So the subject that we're going to be covering, besides the lost 10 tribes, is a little twist on things, and that's called Why the USA Needs Israel. And again, we have a wonderful friendship between our two countries, but let's just keep things in perspective. And here to tell us why the United States needs Israel, we have with us our guest, Yair Davidi. He is the director and founder of Britam.org, BRITAM.org. And he writes several books on where the lost 10 tribes may have migrated to and who they are today. So welcome to the show, Yair Davidi.
Shalom. Shalom, Tama.
It's good to have you on.
Thank you.
All right, so tell us exactly what is Britam, what kind of work you do, who you are, etc.
So my name is Yair Davidi. I live in Jerusalem. I've been in Israel for a long time, since 1974, and I am basically a researcher. I research biblical subjects, rabbinical subjects, history in general, contemporary affairs, and I specialize or the people around with whom I am associated, I had a group of people, you could say, who specialize in researching where the Lost Ten Tribes are today, where they are to be found, descendants of the Lost Tribes of Israel, and we believe that they are to be concentrated, to be found concentrated amongst Western peoples, and that is where they give expression to their biblical ancestry, as if to say. They too are Israelites, so they're not conscious of it. According to Jewish halakha, at the moment they're not considered Jewish. They're not obligated by the halakha, though perhaps in the future they will be. At the moment they're not. They're considered Gentiles for all intents and purpose. Nevertheless, there was a purpose for them. There was a reason for them being where they are. And our organization, in our work, we concentrate on proving who they are, proving where they are from historical and biblical fields of evidence.
All right, we learn in the Bible that when the time comes, Mashiach comes, the Messiah, he's going to gather in all the exiles from around the world, the four corners of the world, and bring them home to Israel. Why do you believe it's important to find out who they are now? Why not just leave it up to the Messiah and let him do it?
We could say that about anything. We also said about people used to say the same thing about bringing the Jews back to the land of Israel. That we could leave it up to the Messiah. There is certain elements that are certain deeds or activities or attitudes that are placed in our hands. That we have, the Bible gives us information. The Tanakh gives us information. The information is out there. It's not out there to be ignored. It's out there to be acted upon. To be realized, to be internalized in the same way as all the rest of the Tanakh and of the sources. They are there for us to understand them, learn them, and to apply to ourselves what aspects are applicable, what aspects of this learning is pertinent to us. We have to find it. That is, there's one fundamental principle of Judaism. So as I understood it, as others have presented it.
Well, I know from many letters that I receive from our listeners that many people describe, Gentile listeners, describe waking up one day and just feeling this unexplainable affinity with Israel and the Jewish people. They can't describe it. They don't understand it. But when they go to your website and they read about the lost 10 tribes and how they will be in the end of days coming back and joining the rest of the people of Israel, this kind of answers their question and makes them feel like they fit in somewhere. So I know in that sense, you're doing a very good deed. The only thing is, as you said, and I have to commend you on that, is that you do have borders, that you draw a line, not making them think that they're Jews, but that they are still Gentiles unless they go through a proper conversion, and that they know that they're Gentiles. However, they could stem from the lost 10 tribes of Israel.
Yes, so this is correct. They In the end times, in the as it says, as you said, it says in the Tanakh, it says throughout the several places in the Tanakh, for instance, Isaiah chapter 11, Ezekiel 37, and so on, it speaks about the lost tribes returning and reuniting with Judah. And it is evident that we are getting closer to the end times. We're getting closer to the Messianic era. It could be very soon, it could take some time, but we are getting there. We are this is the beginnings, we could say, and so this arousal, this instinctive arousal, according to our understanding, is a sign of the end times. People are feeling, they are intuitively understanding that the time is coming when they will be expected to change who they are or to take to assimilate to themselves, to wake up to the fact that they are of Israelite ancestry, the descent, and there are implications to this. I just wanted to mention something else. I agree with you very much that the Israel is helped, the state of Israel is helped by the USA, and this is for the good of the USA. The USA gets a lot out of it. Possibly if the USA did not get so much out of it, it would not help Israel to the extent it does. The USA probably benefits much, much, much more than it gives, but nevertheless, behind all of this benefit that it does receive, which I agree with you 100%, and I could even add a few points to that, I want to point, I would like to say that basically underlying the giving, there is a will. The USA wants to give to Israel, people in America want to give to Israel, and the fact that they also benefit from it is an add something else to it. It reinforces this instinctive inclination that a good portion of the citizens of the USA, especially those in positions of influence, give to Israel because they want to give to Israel.
Mm-hmm. And they are also people who believe in the Bible, and in Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 3, it talks about God says, "I will bless them that bless thee, and him that curses thee, I will curse." So that's something that a lot of people want to follow as well. But you said that you have even more things to add. I think it's very important to talk about that. What are some things that you say that you can add where Israel is helping America?
Israel helps America through scientific research, through computer development. In effect, Jews and Israelis in their scientific, in the fields of science, help the USA keep its edge over the rest of the world. The USA also has the geopolitical position, the strategic position of the state of Israel is an immense advantage to the USA, gives the USA, in effect, a veto power over all of the forces in this region, all of the Middle East, in the event of emergency. Israel is the only stable nation in this world from an American point of view, that America can always rely upon no matter what, especially in the event of Islamic insurgence, problems with world Islam, which they could develop. Mm-hmm. And the other ways, also from the ideological point of view, the USA represents a Western ideology, and this ideology is under attack. It's under attack from the forces of Islam, but also from third world forces, from Russia, from all kinds of European revisionists, in all kinds of ways, both visible and not so open directions. And the state of Israel is in effect a barrier, absorbing all of this hostility in order to attack the USA. They criticize Israel. And Israel is used as an excuse to be anti-American when it's not so politic to openly do so on the one hand. On the other hand, by Israel doing this, Israel is in effect helps the USA. It gives the USA a breathing space to react to rearrange its positions, as if to say.
Mm-hmm. You know, that reminds me also, there was talk also that there's a secret army base here, or Air Force base, I'm not sure what exactly, in Israel that the Americans have, which is a wonderful base for them to be able to fight any wars they need to in the Middle East, which they are involved in, Afghanistan, Iraq, etc. I don't know if they're using those bases right now, but they've definitely put money in, and Israel has let them have this place where they can do that. So that's something else to talk about as well. But we're going to concentrate on the Lost Ten Tribes, because I know a lot of our Gentile listeners are very fascinated by this subject and feel that they are part of the Lost Ten Tribes. So tell us about that. Which tribes are we talking about exactly, so you can clear that up with our listeners? And then go into where these tribes may have migrated to.
Okay, so originally there were 12 tribes of Israel. 10 of them separated themselves from Judah. They set up their own separate kingdom of Israel, and they were taken into exile by the Assyrians. And they were taking different sections of the Assyrian Empire, and from there they moved through over the course of time in waves of migration to the west, and they became concentrated amongst Western nations. And we can trace them, we can identify them more or less, and according to which areas they settled in, as pertaining to different to specific tribes. And this was hinted at in the book of Hosea, who also mentioned that this is what would happen. And we find that amongst the British, or the people from the British Isles, that is including Ireland, Scotland, Wales and England, predominance of peoples from the tribes of Joseph, both Ephraim and Manasseh. And so, in other words, they represent Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, the two sons of Joseph. And we also found that there was a predominance of elements in areas of the British Isles, such as in the north and in the west, from elements belonging to Manasseh that we can trace to the tribe of Manasseh, and these became the foundational forces in the USA. Most of the early migrants to the USA, the people who established the USA, who set the USA up and gave it its formative characteristics, came from these areas that may be associated with Manasseh. And Manasseh is from Joseph, so we find as Joseph, the story of Joseph, we'll know the story of Joseph, how he was, his brothers were jealous of him, and he was sold into Egypt. He went down into Egypt, and in effect he lost his identity. And in Egypt, after being sold as a slave and being forcibly imprisoned and so on, he eventually became the most powerful person in the kingdom. And he was made the person in charge of Mitzrayim of Egypt, and he fed all of the Egyptians, enabled the Egyptians to survive, but he also helped his brothers. He helped his father, the family of his father, even though they did not recognize him. And he himself said that this was the reason why he had become to be what he was. Where his brothers were afraid that he would take vengeance from them. So he said unto them not to fear, because they had considered they had had bad intentions, but God intended it for good, to save a great many people, to save them. So too we may say that a person is as he is and he's able to do as what he can for a reason. So, and from this point of view, the USA or a good portion of the inhabitants, present-day inhabitants of the USA, descend directly from Joseph, and they have to perform the task of Joseph, which was to help his brothers. And now the state of Israel is in need of help, and so they are performing this task of Joseph that was given unto them. We also have the story of Esther. Esther was a Jewish girl who was taken into the harem of the king of Persia, Ahasuerus. And then her uncle Mordecai came to her and asked her to intervene with the king of Persia, because they were planning to exterminate all of the Jews in the kingdom. So Esther was afraid of doing this, because anyone who transgressed protocol and entered the king's court without being called, was liable to be put to death. So Mordecai says, do this, because who knows if not for this reason, you came to be what you are. In other words, Esther was told that she had the position that she had in order to do what she could to save the Jewish people. And so to the Americans are in the similar situation to what Joseph was in ancient times. They are descended from Joseph. And they can help the state of Israel, and they should do so. And by doing this, they are doing what they are made to do, what they were given in order to be able to do it.
But let me ask you this, Yair, because whenever I speak or, you know, people email me and they think that, you know, they're from the Lost Ten Tribes and they say I'm an Ephraimite. That's the term that they use. How come I don't ever get messages from people say I'm from the tribe of Naphtali or I'm from the tribe of Asher? Why is it mostly always Ephraimites?
Ephraim was the leading tribe of the Northern Kingdom when they split apart, and quite often we find, for instance, in Jeremiah, throughout the prophets, when they refer to Ephraim, they use the term Ephraim as applying to all of the ten tribes. Ephraim is another name for all of the ten tribes. So often when people use the term Ephraimite, they mean it's a modern term. Incidentally, in Hebrew, you would use the term Ephrati. Ephrati means someone from the tribe of Ephraim.
Okay, so it's a generic term, you're saying?
Yes, it's a generic term. It may also apply to the specific tribe of Ephraim. And it also, as we've pointed out, it may be that numerically, there are more people from Ephraim in the USA than from Manasseh. Also, there are people from other tribes, Israelite tribes, amongst the inhabitants of the USA. But nevertheless, our studies indicate that the tribe of Manasseh is the tribe amongst those the Israelites in the USA that determines the national character of that area.
So, Yair, you're a Jewish man. You're from Australia originally, but you've been living in the Jerusalem area, or Jerusalem actually for, I don't know, maybe 20 years plus minus. You are what we call a Frum Jew, or religious, a Torah Orthodox religious Jew. How did you get into all of this, you know, research? What brought you to making this your life's work?
So, As a young man, I came across sources that indicated that I was talking about this idea, but I put them to one side. I was interested in it for a while, but after that I put them to one side. Then I came to Israel and I began to learn in yeshivot, in rabbinical institutions, and also I learned on my own a lot, and I kept on coming across sources in rabbinical sources that indicated the Lost Ten Tribes were in the West. And also I come across historical sources giving the same direction. So I determined to undertake an intensive study on my own to determine the question one way or the other. And from that, everything else developed.
Did any of the tribes go east?
Quite a few of the tribes did go east for a while, but most of them, they returned backwards to the west.
How is that? How do you know that?
We trace them. For instance, we trace certain tribes that reached Afghanistan, that went into Persia and reached Afghanistan, and then they moved to the north, into Central Asia, and then they moved westward. In my book, The Tribes, I trace the different migrations of these peoples. And also on the borders of India and in the eastern Siberia, in that region, we find Israelite tribes who later joined elements that migrated from these regions to the west. And it was not only Israelites who migrated, but a lot of people. Apparently, there were changes of climate, there was upheavals amongst the nations, and they were fighting each other and warring against each other, and there was a whole mass of migrations from that region into Western Europe.
So you're saying that some of them left and went west, but some of them also stayed put where they are today, even in the east. Pashtun, they say, that are possibly a lost tribe, etc.?
They may have done. We do not go into that. We are not. We concentrate on people in the west, on the lost tribes in the west.
All right, when we get back, why the USA needs Israel.
We're Phil and Cheryl. We're from Los Angeles, and we're visiting Arik Sheva, and we love Arik Sheva. We listen and hope you always listen too. Arik Sheva can be found at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Find us there.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Courage.
Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go.
Audacity.
Miracles.
Hope.
broadcasting from Bethel, just north of Jerusalem, D.C. That's right, Jerusalem, David's capital.
King David's capital.
And now, Tamar Yonah.
All right, so we're speaking about the lost 10 tribes of Israel and where they went. And our guest tonight, Yair Davidi at www.britam.org, that's BRITAM.org, is telling us that many of the lost 10 tribes migrated eventually over to the New World into North America and what's America today, the United States of America, and that in fact America, the United States, needs Israel. We're always thinking Israel needs America. You know, who needs who? This is the question that we're going to look into today. Of course, there's a wonderful friendship between Israel and the United States of America, and we hope that that flourishes even more. But let's not think it's only one-sided that Israel needs America. Yair Davidi is saying that the USA actually needs Israel. And here, are you back with us, Yair?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here, Tamar.
Okay, very good. So we were talking about how you're saying that you have been focusing your research on many of the tribes that have come back to, have migrated to the West, and that many of them are in the United States, and maybe that's why I'm getting all these emails from English speakers who are telling me, Tamar, I'm an Ephraimite, or I feel like, you know, I belong to the Lost Ten Tribes. I'm not Jewish, I'm a Gentile, but I feel like I'm part of the Hebrew nation, and in the end of days, we're going to come back and join you. So tell us a bit about that. What's going to happen?
So in the end times, the Lost Ten Tribes will return. It says that quite expressly. It says that several times in Zechariah 10, in Isaiah 11, in Ezekiel 37, Hosea also speaks about it. Most of the prophets speak of it one way or the other. The Lost Ten Tribes will return. The indications are that Judah will return as he has done, and Judah is in effect preparing the way for the Lost Tribes to return. First, the Judah will return. Rabbi Kavish was one of the earliest religious Zionists. He wrote quite extensively on this subject, that the state of Israel will be set up by Judah, and Judah will prepare the way for the rest of the tribes to return. And that is what is happening. See commentaries on Isaiah 6:11, Jeremiah 33, and so on. The lost tribes will return, and they will reunite with Judah. And we don't know how this will come about, but as other things which we see before our eyes have come to pass in our time, and also things that if we had been told in advance that they would happen, we would not have believed it, but it did happen. For instance, the Soviet Union suddenly throwing up its arms and saying, "We're tired out, we give in." If someone had ever said that was what they were going to do 2 years beforehand, I don't think anyone would have believed them, but that's what they did do. And so things like this do happen. Things happen in ways that we don't know. The Bible says it will happen, and it will happen. Incidentally, there are several midrashim, quite a few midrashim, saying that people, elements from Manasseh, or the whole tribe of Manasseh, or sections from Manasseh, such as Gilead, will be the first of the lost tribes to return and reunite with Judah. And since we have said that the Manasseh represents the USA, or Manasseh is very influential within the USA, this is another reason why the USA should support Israel, why the USA needs Israel, because the USA is helping Israel, is helping the Jews in Israel, in effect prepare the way for them for their eventual return to the land of Israel, or to the greater land of Israel, which will extend from the Nile to the Euphrates and encompass other areas such as Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, and other regions around about, as according to the promises given to Abraham.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that the United States of America should support Israel because Israel is opening up the door, paving the way for the rest of the 10 tribes of Israel to join and come back to the Jewish people. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm also saying that the USA got to receive what it has, the wealth and the might of the USA, to the degree that it has it. One of the reasons why it received it was in order to do this. Was for this reason we mentioned that before, that concerning the apparel with Esther and Joseph, but also there's the very blessings to Abraham. Abraham was the forefather of the Israelite nations, of the Jewish people and of the Israelite peoples, and Abraham was promised to become a great and mighty nation, in order that all the nations of the earth should be blessed in him, and that he should do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him in Genesis 18. Verses 18 to 19, and if you go through the order of the verses, it says that Abraham would become a great and mighty nation, in order. And then all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, and they shall do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. In other words, the lost tribes of Israel, or a portion of them, were to become great and mighty. First of all, this was as if an enabling factor, that this is something that they would need to receive. And after receiving that, then they had tasks to do, such as justice and judgment, and also according to Isaiah chapter 49, to set, establish the land, the rest of Isaiah also talks about the lost tribes helping to establish the land and helping to bring back the people, the oppressed of Zion, to help the Jews rehabilitate themselves in the land of Israel. Isaiah 49, all of Isaiah 49 talks about it, incidentally. And also in this Genesis 18, we see that they first of all receive the blessings, they receive the blessings in order to be able to do something, and after that, when and if they do what they have to do, they will be receive other blessings, additional blessings. And this is so. In other words, the USA is where it is. It has what it has because God wanted it to do what it has to do. And what it has to do is according to the Tanakh, according to the Isaiah 49, and other portions of the Bible. It has to help the Jews of Israel return and reestablish the land of Israel.
Okay, that's a real mouthful. I want to read something from your website at britom.org. By the way, you can see a picture of Yair Davidi and actually see a video of him on his website. And let me just read this. It says, a portion of Judah will be the first to return. This is the present state of Israel. At first, they will be reluctant to receive the 10 tribes and assimilated non-identifiable Jews. But after that, they will. The tribes will return, at first physically, and after that, in the religious sense. Judah needs the return of Samaria, which is Manasseh and Israel, what you write here, both physically and spiritually, for the sake of its own redemption. Judah will teach Joseph. In other words, the Jews will teach the Gentiles the lost 10 tribes who are Gentiles today. The 10 tribes will return and help Judah rehabilitate the land of greater Israel from the Nile to the Euphrates. The rest of Judah will then return. Tell us how that's going to happen, that these people who wake up one day and feel, you know what, I just feel like I'm part of the 10 tribes of Israel. I want to join Judah. I want to serve God. I want to go to Israel and live there. But I believe in, you know, the J-man still, or I believe in Allah. You know, maybe there's, you know, like the Pashtun are Muslims. They have their religions. How are they going to be able to drop their religions and be able to become Jews?
So, I can say, I know my guess is as good as yours. I'm not a prophet. I don't foresee the future. I only can tell you what the Bible says, what the Tanakh says. Also, now interpretations and understanding is confirmed by Midrashim, by rabbinical statements, that at some stage, the lost tribes will return. And this return may be involved with the different geopolitical changes. For instance, the Rara in Micah chapter in the book of Micah, it mentions that the 10 tribes, also in Amos, it mentions the 10 tribes returning at the beginning from Mutsri, from the region called Mutsri, or from Gilad and Bashan, which are Syria and the border and the area of Iraq and Armenia and so on. And we see that there are forces from the USA in Iraq, in this region, this region of Armenia, not so much Armenia, but the northern region of Kurdistan, was ever since the first Gulf War, the USA and the British have also had a hold there, and they remain there, and now they're increasing their hold. They have to remain there because of that is where all of the oil resources that the USA needs are to be found. And who knows how things may turn out. They may, first of all, come back and some of them may set up settlements, or there may be, God forbid, there may be all kinds of climatic or ecological disasters that force people to have to migrate, to leave the USA, and they might come to this region. There are all kinds of possibilities that only now are we seeing that they are realities. It's no good speculating because things could turn out in any of a number of different ways, mm-hmm. but things like this do happen. Great political changes do occur. Whole bodies of people do move from one area to the other, to another, as they have done in the past in historical times.
And living in the year 2011 is no guarantee that won't happen again.
All we know is that the Tanakh speaks about lost in times being in certain areas. It also says in the end times they will return, and it gives us an indication how they will return. We emphasize that when the lost ten tribes return, they will return in a body, more in a body of people. They will rise a Mashiach ben Yosef, like a Messiah, a leader, a divinely appointed leader who is identified with the Malbim, by rabbinical commentators, with the eventual leader of the lost ten tribes, and he will bring them back, and they will come back as one cohesive body. They will not come back in the same way as the Jews returned. Individuals coming up, getting on a plane and flying to Israel.
Mm-hmm. I hear that. Tell us about this. This is a little bit of a sensitive question because this is happening now. There are people who believe that they're from the lost 10 tribes of Israel, and they want to come and they want to live in Israel. But there's a problem with them living in Israel because they're not Jewish, and they prefer... And they're still holding on to their religion or their beliefs in a way. Yet some of these people are saying, well, guess what? We want to convert, and we want to convert in a large group. Now, this is very suspect in some ways when a large group says that they want to convert, because you don't know if they're doing that with an ulterior motive that they want to stay in Israel, but they don't want to give up their belief in who the Messiah is and who God is, the Son of God, blah, blah, blah. And this is a dangerous thing. What is your feeling on that? Do you have anything to do with these groups that want to come and make a mass conversion? And do you trust them?
I don't have anything to do with these groups. I don't know anything about them. They keep away from me.
Why do they keep away from you?
Maybe because I'm considered too Jewish, too Orthodox in a sense. I don't know. I'm not. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Maybe they do not. At all events, I'm not privy to their private councils. I don't know what they intend or what they intend to do. We emphasize the Jewish religion, belief in the Jewish religion. We say that We do not consider it our task to convert people to Judaism. Those who wish to become Jewish, we do not necessarily encourage them, but we say that they should go ahead and do what their conscience leads them to do. But this is not what we are concerned with. You said that there might be certain groups that might be suspicious. So this is a phenomenon the State of Israel has dealt with. It's known from the very beginning. There's always been groups like that. And some of them have been converted, and some of them have caused troubles. We know the black Hebrews in Dimona and so on. But others of them have been assimilated. I know different cases where people had before their conversion, they had all kinds of funny beliefs, but they were genuine in a sense, and they did convert. And over the period of time, they came around to thinking like any other person, any other religious Jew in the State of Israel. And they married and they had children, and they have and their families are amongst us now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to rely to a certain degree on divine providence. We have to do what the halakha tells us to do. The halakha tells us in certain circumstances to convert, and in circumstances to be reserved about conversion. And whatever the rabbis decide to do, as far as we're concerned, that is okay. The Almighty directs the councils of the religious authorities.
Do you find it ironic that, you know, for the last basically 2,000 years, when Israel was scattered among the different nations and we were living in ghettos and being kicked around and being pogromed and spat on and called dirty Jew, and it was in many countries, if not most countries, it was even forbidden to convert to Judaism, that today some people, instead of trying to run from Judaism, we have Gentiles today who are trying to be Jewish, who are trying to say that they are Jewish. I have so many listeners as well who write me and say, I'm a Torah observant Gentile. Or they'd say, I'm a Jew, even though that they're not a Jew, because they believe that they're part of the Jewish people and they want to be a Jew, so they say that they're a Jew. Is that kind of ironic in these days to hear that?
It is ironic, but this is what it was prophesied, that this is what would happen. And for instance, Ezekiel speaks about in the end times, chapter 11, he speaks about the people of Jews of Jerusalem being reluctant to accept even non-religious Jews coming back. We also have in Isaiah 49, that the end verses of Isaiah 49, he speaks about the reaction of the Jews when they see the returnees from the Lost Ten Tribes, and he is referring to the Lost Ten Tribes, as the Zohar itself says, that when the Lost Ten Tribes return, the Jews will say, who are these people? I was alone, exactly as you said, I was alone, I was persecuted, I was chased from one place to another, there was no one there to help me, and these, who bore these, where did they come from? What are they doing coming back? But nevertheless, they will come back and they will return, and this is a natural reaction, and this is part of life.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell our listeners who are thinking that, wow, you know what? They're talking about people who wake up one day and feel that they're part of the Lost Ten Tribes, but what do I do with this feeling? You've written several books. Where would you suggest that someone who's listening to this show, who's a Gentile, who all of a sudden feels this affinity with Israel and the Jewish people and wants to get closer to God, where do you suggest that they start?
So as you mentioned, as we have mentioned several times, it depends upon to what degree of belief they have in other things and other things which are not compatible with the Jewish religion. If they have a belief which is compatible with Judaism, they feel they are Jewish, so they should do what other people would do in that situation, they should return to the Jewish roots. But if they feel that they are Israelites, even though they want to be part of, they identify with the Jewish people, but they feel that they are different. They do not want to use what they consider to be their tribal identity, their ancestry. They do not want to give it up. Also, they might not be certain about certain issues concerning the Messiah and the end times and so on. So everyone has to find their own way. But we encourage people to learn the Bible, to live good lives, to go into this subject of the Lost Ten Tribes, to learn about it, to study it, and to ask the Almighty to show them the right way to go in. Also, we encourage them to support the State of Israel, to be sympathetic towards the Jewish people, and in general, just to go forward from where they are and help their fellow men in the regions where they are to be found in.
Okay, you've written several books. I've mentioned on the show already a couple of times now. And one of them is called Biblical Truth. And on your website, if they click around, they'll find a part where you talk about biblical evidence, biblical locations of the Lost Ten Tribes. And you show this all. It's all listed here, all your research. But if they wanted to get hold of one of your books, you've got so many books. I mean, where do they start? Which one? Should they start with Biblical Truth or Origin or Joseph or Role to Rule? I mean, which one?
I would recommend Origin, because it's a relatively small book. It's easy reading, but it is detailed. It is serious, and we try in this book Origin to combine both the secular historical evidence with the biblical verses, with the biblical truths, and we bring the whole all of the proofs together in a concise manner.
Okay, so I'm looking at your book now, Origin Now, and I'm looking on your website, and it says it's $10, so anybody wants to order that, it's not too much money to invest, and you might learn a lot. All right, so let's finish this up with, again, going back to the United States. You write me that a good portion of the present-day inhabitants of the USA descended from the lost Israelites. Just go over that one more time and explain to our listeners why you're claiming that this is true.
Okay. We believe that the USA, or people in the USA who have a controlling position in the USA, come from Lost Tribes of Israel, because most of the present inhabitants of the USA are descended from migrants from areas of Europe. And in these areas of Europe, we find the Lost Ten Tribes having settled, and this is confirmed both by the Bible, by rabbinical sources, and also by history and linguistics. We specifically identify many people in the USA as belonging to Manasseh, because we find a predominance of areas connected with Manasseh, with those regions from which the early pioneer elements that founded America came from. They came from areas associated with Manasseh. We also find that the Manasseh, according to the Bible, was to become great after Ephraim, in Genesis 48, 8 to 17. And Manasseh, he too would become a great nation. He too would be great, it says. was the blessing given to Manasseh, even though Ephraim would be greater, but it says that Manasseh would become great after Ephraim. And we have identified Ephraim with people in the British Isles, because there too we find a lot of the early tribal names and the characteristics to be those of Ephraim or from clans of Ephraim. So we identify.
Example. Give us an example of a name.
For instance, we have Perish. Perish was from Manasseh. We have the Parisee. We have the Parisee. We have Gilead was from Manasseh in Scotland. We have Giladon. Okay, mm-hmm. We have different names.
Where does the name Britain come from?
Britain may also. Britain is historically the derivation of the word Pridan, or it's not really certain, or people are known as Brits. But it is interesting that in Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 49, the Lost Ten Tribes are referred to as spoken of, and they are mentioned as becoming a covenant of the people. A covenant of the people is the Brit-Am. That is a name, a term. This is where we also got the name for our organization from, Brit-Am.
Okay, so Covenant of the People is, in Hebrew, Brit-Am.
Yes, Brit-Am.
And that's like Britain.
Yes, and not only that, but we find in the Middle Ages that sometimes the word Brit-Am was written as Brit-Amia. It was an alternative way of saying the word Britain was Brit-Amia. So we have this very name. And people who believe in divine providence, as we do, say there's nothing is there for without a reason. So this too is an indication amongst hundreds. It's not a proof in its own. It could be considered just a coincidence when you have hundreds or thousands of such coincidences, all of them pointing in the same direction. So it does indicate something.
We have like 30 seconds left. How do you want to sum up everything that we've talked about?
So I could say in general we have about six different proofs that identify the USA with Manasseh. The very name America is derived from the Hebrew HaMechiri. He was the firstborn son of America. HaMechiri in Hebrew means someone belonging to Mechir. He was the firstborn son of Manasseh. That's where America comes from.
Okay, more on the BritAm.org website. I'll put a link up on the website. Thanks for being with us. Thank you, Yair Davidi.
Thank you very much.
IsraelNationalRadio.com. You know you want to listen because you know that it's the bomb, bringing you stories from all over the world, bringing you stories that you never ever heard, bringing you stories and bringing you the news. Israel National Radio, yo, pay your dues.